And we will swing it over to you out there. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We're keeping our eye on two games on the Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you by StubHub. Texas leading Tampa Bay 7-2 in the top of the eighth. The Rangers have two on and nobody out. They're looking for more. If they win, they move back into a tie for the wild card spots with Tampa Bay, and they will remain at least a half game ahead of the Cleveland Indians, two games up on the Orioles, three up on the Kansas City Royals, and 3.5 up on the New York Yankees. The Indians are home to Houston in a 1-1 tie in the top of the 10th, and the way things are going now, they need to win to stay within a half game of a playoff spot. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're going to start with Itamar in Toronto, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Itamar, you're the leadoff man on the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Just want to say I was just at the game, and the Jays played quite well. You know, it was nice to see them win against the Yankees after last night's heartbreaking loss. Played some good baseball, but I want to get right to my questions.
Okay.
My first question to you is, I noticed how you said on Twitter, that JT is in a slump because somebody gave you a question. I want to ask you truthfully, do you actually think he's in a slump, or do you think he's just not very good anymore?
Anymore? This is third year in the major leagues.
Okay, do you think, I'm just asking, do you think he's in a slump or he's just not like that good of a catcher?
Of course he's in a slump. Like, and I don't understand why that, saying that gets the reaction that it has from all the fans on Twitter who just want to tell me over and over and over again how awful JP Arencibia is. He is 2 for his last 45. That's a slump. That's not normal level of performance. He's hitting under 150 since the All-Star break. That's a huge slump. Again, that's not a normal level of performance.
Right. I think that he's in a slump, but I also just think he's never going to have such a great batting average. And, you know, he might be in a slump, but I just don't think he's actually that good of a catcher.
Those things may be true. JP may never hit 250. He might. He has in the past in the minor leagues. He might not. He's got to make a lot of changes to what he's doing. But right now, when you're going through what he's going through, and people are just piling on, like they can't wait to talk about how terrible JP Arencibia is, and it really is unseemly at the very least. But there is no question that he's in a bad slump right now. And anyone who believes that he's not, I just don't understand what that thought process is. A guy has two hits in 45 at-bats. That's a slump. And it's a bad one. And he's been going through it, not that bad, but he's been going through it since the All-Star break. This is not who JP Arencibia is. Very obviously.
I agree with you. I mean, I know he's a better player. He hasn't played so great lately, but I mean, I understand what you mean. But also, just a couple other questions.
Sure.
Another one is, do you think that Ricky Romero will be in the starting rotation next year, or do you think he's just lost it all?
Does it have to be one or the other?
I know he can be a relief pitcher or whatever, but do you think he can ever be a starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays again?
Yes, I do. I don't think he's going to be in the rotation to start next season. I think that after these last 2 years, he's got a lot of work to do to get back to a level of performance that puts him in a rotation on a good team. And I do believe the Blue Jays are going to be a good team next year. I think that they're going to go out and they're going to get some starting pitching help. They might not get much, but they'll get a guy at least, I would think. And I think that there's going to be competition for the fifth spot in the rotation, and maybe even for the fourth and fifth spots in the rotation in spring training between a group that includes Kyle Drabek, Drew Hutchison, Esmil Rogers, Todd Redmond, Ricky Romero, J-Hap, maybe even Sean Nolan. two of those guys are going to come out unless the Blue Jays go get two pitchers in the offseason, in which case only one of them will come out of the spring if everybody's healthy in the rotation. And I think the odds are very much against Ricky being one of them.
Mike?
Yes?
Hello?
Hello?
What's the situation with Josh Johnson?
Is this the phone being passed around on the Blue Jays talk? Very interesting.
Oh, my God. Come on. It's a big party here where we're at.
It seems like it. There is no situation with Josh Johnson right now. He is a free agent. And the Blue Jays have the right to give him a qualifying offer, which I'm sorry, I can't really say it with a straight face, would guarantee them draft pick compensation if somebody else were to sign him. But if the Blue Jays make Josh Johnson a qualifying offer, which is about $14 million for a one-year deal, there is no way that he doesn't sign it before the end of the sentence in which the offer is extended. But, you know, they're in the same boat as everybody else, and there will be teams willing to give Josh Johnson a one-year deal somewhere between $6 and $8, maybe $10 million, maybe a lower base with incentives, and he's going to have a lot of suitors, and he'll get to pick where he wants to go. And if he's smart, he'll go to the National League West, to LA or San Francisco or San Diego. If he has a sense of responsibility and loyalty, he'll come back here, realizing that he basically stole $13.5 million from the Blue Jays this year, and will want to try to make it up to them and show them that that he was worth the investment. So we'll see what happens with Josh Johnson. I would not expect him to be back here next year, though I would welcome it, because I do think that that he's got a lot more in him. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 6-2. Let's go out to Antigonish, Nova Scotia, listening on News 95.7. Johnny, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
How you doing, Johnny?
Not too bad. Myself, the glass is always half full with the Blue Jays. And I'd like to start off by saying all the naysayers talking about Gibbons sitting on the bench, missing everything but a bag of Doritos in his hand. You know what? They might not have played a game before, you know. So, anyway, I think
I don't know what that means at all. But okay,
well, people say that he's missing a bag of Doritos because he's sitting down being lazy. But anyway, I don't think that way.
Okay.
And furthermore, you know what? He has a team to coach and. He's coaching them and managing them. But aside from that, let's talk about Adam Lind.
Okay.
Next year, he's got to be on the team. He has to be.
Because?
Well, his contract is what? $7 million? Or...
Yep, with a $2 million buyout, so really $5
million. Yeah, it's a steal. You got to get him, and you got to sign him for a few more years because...
They don't have to sign him for a few more years. They have options on him for the next three.
Okay.
After this year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven, 7.5, and 8, and they'll go year to year picking them up. But you just think because of the money he's a steal, or is there another reason you want to keep him around?
Well, I think he's the prototype of a hitter, for especially a left-handed hitter. Like, he sees the ball well. Not knocking his past, but like he had a bad year last year.
He hit above average. Yeah,
you know.
You know what? He's a very good hitter against right hand. If you find a platoon mate for him, and I do appreciate the call, Johnny. If you find a platoon mate for him, and you do not use him against left-handers, then yeah, Adam Lind will do you some good. He came into today's game with a 900 OPS against right-handed pitching, and he got better today by going 2-for-4 with that 3-run homer. He's hitting over 300 against righties. His on-base percentage is over 380 against righties, but you can't use him against lefties. He started the season 12-for-24 against left-handed pitching. Since then, he is 7-for-66 for a batting average of 106. So, you know, and John Gibbons has been very good about using Adam Lind in the proper situation, getting him out at the right time, and they haven't had, you know, a real lefty killer. They've been using Mark DeRosa more often than not, platooning with him, and hopefully, because they are abundant in the wild, you can get a lefty killer platoon mate for Adam Lind, and you have yourself a hell of a DH, and probably for only around $8 million. So I would like to see Adam Lind back. You got to be able to live with the slumps because he's going to have them. But he has he's done a very good job this year towards saving his major league future with the Blue Jays. That's for sure. Rob is up next in Wilcox, Saskatchewan, listening on AM 1190 in Weyburn. Rob, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Quick question here.
Yeah.
Next spring, if Goes proves that he can play center field in the big leagues, if they decided to trade Rasmus, what kind of pitcher do you think they could get? Could they get a two guy or a number three guy?
Well, you'd hope so. Otherwise, it's probably not worth trading him. But you're right. Only trading 1 year of Colby Rasmus, which is important to remember because he's a free agent after next year. The Blue Jays will probably try to sign him in the offseason. But yeah, that's the question. Anthony Gose has proven he can play center field in the major leagues. What he hasn't proven yet is that he can hit. And hopefully he gets there. And he's only 23. So if he doesn't make the team next year, that's okay. But I'm not trading Colby Rasmus unless I'm getting a whole whack load back for him.
I'm not sure who the free agent pitchers are next year. Like, who are some of the big names that they could go after?
Matt Garza might be the biggest name out there as far as free agent pitchers go. Hiroki Kuroda, who we saw today, who has really gone into the tank down the stretch, is another big name free agent pitcher. It's not the best crop in the world. Roy Halladay is going to be a starting pitcher. A.J. Burnett, but he's 37. Bartolo Colon, but he's 41. But both of them are going to be coming off really, really good years. Tim Lincecum is going to be a free agent coming off a bad year. And Irvin Santana. And Ricky Nolasco. Let's throw him in there. That's really the cream of the crop. And I don't know if any of those guys really, really light it up for you, really get you excited about bringing them in for the top of your rotation.
Right. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, and we will take more of them. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will continue to Blue Jays talk it up all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, as well as sportsnet590.ca, Rogers Radio app, Rogers Digital Cable, Channel 904. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. In 4 minutes, I'm going to say goodbye, but I'm not really going anywhere. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 6-2. It's a Honda postgame show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees. 6-2 is your final score. Todd Redman has the best start of his major league career. Goes 7 innings for the first time. Gives up just a run on 4 hits. Anthony Gose misses a cycle by a triple. Adam Lind, a huge 3-run homer in the 7th inning to put the game out of reach. And the Yankees' late rally falls short as Casey Jansen retires Vernon Wells and Lyle Overbay to get the win. If the Texas Rangers hold on to beat Tampa Bay, all these things will happen, and Texas is now leading the Rays 7-2 in the bottom of the 8th. If Texas holds on to win, the Yankees will fall 3.5 games behind the second wild card in the American League. The idle Kansas City Royals, 3 back. The Baltimore Orioles, 2 back, because they lost 3-1 to Boston earlier tonight. The Red Sox clinching the American League East with the win. The Astros and Indians are tied at 1 in the top of the 11th. Cleveland needs to win that game to stay within a half game of a playoff spot. Over in the National League, the Pirates are now 1 game out. They beat San Diego 10-1, while the Cardinals were losing 7-6-15 to the Rockies. Blue Jays are off to Boston to start their final road trip of the season. They've got Esmiel Rogers on the mound tomorrow against John Lester. We're on at 7. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunn, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center. 2-1 to go. So swung on and belted. Right field. Look out. That ball is gone. Anthony Gose with the second home run of the season for him. The other one was a grand slam. That one made it 3-1 Blue Jays on the way to a 6-2 win. And it felt like that was the first time I've called a Blue Jay home run in like a month. And I'm actually looking back to try to see when the last time it was. It was actually only 10 days ago. Rajay Davis leading off the sixth with a home run and a 12-6 loss to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Blue Jays got six again this time, but this time the opponents only got two. They beat the New York Yankees 6-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. And there's only one home series left this season. And for a lot of people, the season can't come to an end soon enough. It has been a very disappointing year for the Blue Jays. They're 70-82 right now. With 10 games to play, they need 4 wins to surpass their total of last season when they finished 73-89. And they have 3 games left against the Boston Red Sox, who don't have much to play for right now. They clinched the American League East tonight, so they will go for the best record in the American League, which allows them, and it's kind of big now, allows them to host the wild card winner in the first round. And right now, the Red Sox are 3.5 games up on the Oakland A's for that best record in the American League. The Baltimore Orioles, likely to be 2 games out of a playoff spot, so they'll have a lot to play for, probably, when the Blue Jays face them. And the Tampa Bay Rays, currently tied, well, currently holding the top wild card by a game over Texas, but losing 7-2 to Texas in the ninth. So they're going to be tied, barring a miracle comeback. And they'll probably have a lot to play for, too, those last 3 games of the season. So the Blue Jays have a chance to have a real impact on the playoff race. They already have by taking 2 out of 3 here from the New York Yankees. We're taking your calls right up to 11 o'clock Eastern time. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Speaking of long distance, let's go out to Steve in Phoenix City, Alabama. Haven't heard from Steve in a while. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, my friend?
Doing all right, sir. How's it going down there in Bama?
Oh, man, nice and hot and just sunny and enjoying Blue Jays baseball. But, you know, last year I consulted in you in something before we quit for the season, and I bought me a Blue Jays hat because you told me that Kobe would be back this year. All right?
Yep.
Now I'm thinking about buying me a jersey this year. But we got to have a multi-year contract in the works for this. What do you think?
Well, if you were Colby, would you sign a multi-year contract?
Hell yeah.
Would you? Or would you go out and play next season and then go on to the free agent market and cash in even more?
No, I think I would go ahead and sign now, to tell you the truth. Because, you know, he's a little bit streaky at times. I know that's hard to believe.
See, honestly, but, I don't know what I would do. Because I don't think the Blue Jays are going to offer him a massive deal. And I don't think they're going to offer him a very long term. And I know they love their options. So I would expect that Alex Anthopoulos would come to Colby Rasmus with a 2-year and an option, 3-year and an option sort of deal, maybe even a couple of options. And yeah. I don't, you know, if he plays next year and has a similar season, he could go out and get 5 years and $115 million maybe.
You think?
Yeah, center fielder who hits 25 home runs. All his numbers are right up there among the best center fielders in the league. I think it's more than possible that if he goes out and hits 280, on base of 350, 25 homers next year, and continues to play in excellent center field, Well, maybe 5-115 is a little much, but 5-80 certainly isn't.
You know, that kind of money down here in Alabama, hell, he'd own half a state, Mike.
Only half?
But I've enjoyed listening to you this season. I'm going to be listening the rest of the season, but if I don't talk to you anymore, I will hear you next year.
Sounds Thanks, good, man. Steve. I appreciate it. Appreciate your loyal listenership down there in Colby Rasmus's hometown of Phoenix City, Alabama. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 6-2. Michael in Toronto. Good name. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks very much, Michael. Oh, isn't that great to hear from the guy down there in Alabama?
I love Steve. Yeah.
Go Bama. That was great.
Steve's tremendous.
Two things if I can, maybe I can get to two. First thing I want to ask you is this. I mean, I feel sorry for the general manager of the Jays after pulling all the right moves, all the right strings last season, so much hope. This offseason, there are so many question marks that really you just kind of have to, apart from making some moves that you can make, cross your fingers and hope. I mean, they've got like, what, I don't know, what count, 8, 9, possibly 10 pitchers who, you know, after Burley and Dickey, need to fill 3 spots in the rotation. You have to hope that Hutchinson or Drabeck or Happ or Brandon Morrow coming back or Luis Perez or Esmil Raj, there were so many of them, possibly Dustin McGowan, maybe Rick Romero. There were so many of them who could come in and do a job, but you can't say for certain. And you can't go out and get 3 prime pitchers. You can't go out and get them. So you kind of, there's the cross your fingers and hope, and you also have to hope that the position players, they've got so much talent out there playing, we have to hope that they stay basically healthy. And so I sort of feel sorry for them. I'm prepared to hope, I'm happy to hope, and wait till next season, but I think that's the position they're in. Isn't that so?
I think they can go out and get one top-flight starting pitcher, and they can try to get two, but it is going to be very, very difficult. You're right. And I think they do have to hope that guys stay healthy and that guys pitch the way they can and that somebody takes a step forward like a Drabeck or a Hutchison or even a Romero next season to help them along, because that's what they're going to need.
Yeah, I think that's it. The second thing, if I might, is that, and I hope you won't take this too harshly, but I think you were a little hard on the guys who said that the general manager, they should consider letting go of the general manager. Now, I like Gibbons. I like what I've seen of him. I heard from him.
Okay.
And I agree with you that he hasn't done anything to deserve being fired. But I do think that some of the callers have said that if you're in a professional sport, if you can't follow all the players, and when can you, you have to look at thinking about bringing in somebody else just to change the atmosphere, change the psychology, you know, like, give the players themselves some hope that maybe something will be done differently. Now, I really do like John Gibbons, don't get me wrong. But that's often what happens in professional sports, is when they play in hockey.
It is, but that's not to say that's right. And I'll never agree with it. I don't think that you fire a manager or a coach unless you have a reason to do so. And the reason that, you know, that I get in these back and forths with people who want John Gibbons fired is because no one gives me an actual reason as to why he should lose his job, as opposed other than the fact that the Blue Jays are in last place.
Well, I heard of a conversation with you just like that the other night, and you were insisting that the team not performing is not a reason.
Yes.
And while I understand that John Gibbons doesn't deserve to be fired because of anything he's done, I get that. I really do. Nevertheless, I think I've just been saying, the fact that the team doesn't perform, that i.e. isn't somehow motivated by or stimulated by, massaged into performing better, can't
right. When you move into that nevertheless, that's when I lose you. Because I don't think it's not the manager's job. These are professional athletes. This is baseball. It's not hockey. It's not football. You don't need a motivational speech. You don't need to run through a brick wall because you want to win so bad, because you can never take possession away from the other team as you can in hockey or football. Wanting it more doesn't matter in baseball. A manager's not here to motivate, and a manager cannot make players play better.
I've heard some of the commentators say Jack Morris. No, was it Jack? No, sorry. The catcher. The catcher was on television.
Greg Zahn
talking about how he said a couple of things. He said also Jack Morris has talked about how some of the positional play, the fielding of the Jays, might link back to the fact that they don't go out and practice fundamentals in the afternoon on a daily basis. Now, I don't know if that's a managerial decision.
No team in the major leagues. No team in the major leagues does that. I have to let you go because we're up against the update. But again, and the same thing I've said to all the other callers. It's not the manager's job to make players be better, and it's not a manager's job to teach. It's the major leagues, and players are responsible for their performance, as much as people don't want to have that happen for some reason that I will never understand. More of your phone calls coming up on the other side, but we're late for the update. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Over Bay ready. The 3-2 pitch. Strike three called. Inning over. 92-mile-an-hour fastball. And Redmond sets down the Yanks in order. 7 outstanding innings. He's allowed a run on 4 hits.
7 outstanding innings indeed for Todd Redmond. First time in his major league career he's ever gotten that deep into a game. He picks up the win. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 6-2. An outstanding start for Redmond. And that is 2 great starts in a row for him. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls right up to the top of the hour at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Keeping half an eye on the Indians and Astros in Cleveland. It's a 1-1 tie in the bottom of the 11th, but the Indians have 2 on and 2 out for Mike Aviles. If they win this game, they will stay a half game back of the wild card in the American League. The 2 wild cards, assuming the Texas Rangers beat the Rays, and Texas is up 8-2 in the top of the 9th inning. If that game in Cleveland ends while we're still on the air, we'll let you know the result. Right now, more of your phone calls. We go to Tyler in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. It's great to talk to you. Got so much to say. I'll try to get through as quickly as I can. I might have to call you back tomorrow to wrap it up.
Okay.
But... first thing, it's about the catcher, and I don't want to sound negative or like I'm piling on JP because I don't have anything personal against him. He's a nice guy. I love what he does with his charity work and everything like that. But just from a strictly, baseball performance point of view, I just wanted to ask you, how high would you put a new starting catcher on your priority list for next year? And how hard would you push to go out and sign either Brian McCann or A.J. Pierzynski? I've always really liked both of those guys. Pierzynski more so when he was with the White Sox. I've always thought he was great. And just how comfortable would you be if J.P. was the starting catcher next season?
I would push to have a new starting catcher next season. And again, you're right. J.P.'s a wonderful guy, and it's nothing against him, but he just hasn't performed. And it's not just this year. He's a guy who doesn't get on base very well. He hits for power, which is wonderful, but it's, you got to have the whole package, and it would have been nice to see his performance level rise this season in his third full year in the major leagues instead of taking the huge dive that it has, despite the fact that he may well wind up being the major league's leading home run hitting catcher this season. He just hasn't done enough other things. I would love to get Brian McCann here. I'm not a huge fan of A.J. Pierzynski, just in general. I love what McCann does. I love what the fact that he gets on base, that he hits for power. He's a decent enough and has been a durable enough catcher, and he's only 29 years old. He'll be 30 in spring training next year. But honestly, unless the Blue Jays back up a massive truck to his house, I don't know why Brian McCann would come here.
Yeah, and I like both those guys. The only reason I would lean a little bit toward Pierzynski is just because he's played in the AL, but he is older and everything like that. But anyway, second question is
he's back a lot older.
At the beginning of September, with the roster expansion, when they called up the 4 pitchers and they left Stroman and Hutchinson and Nolan off the roster.
Yep.
There's a bunch of people calling and asking, like, why would they do that? Why wouldn't they call these guys up to see what they have? In the same breath, all season, we've been talking about, you know, how starting pitching is our number one problem, and last season too.
Yep.
And when that discussion happens, everyone points to Tampa Bay and says, well, look how they do it. You know, they develop their pitchers, you know, no matter who it is, each guy spends at least one season or 200 innings, whichever comes first, in each level, single A, double A, and triple A in the minor leagues before they get called up. So with, you know, Stroman and Nolan, this only being really their first professional season in the minors, I don't understand why people...
It's not either of their first professional season.
Oh, I thought it was just with the first, with the Blue Jays.
No. Stroman pitched last year, got suspended last year. Nolan has been around. He's in Double A this year, so he actually got to the major leagues this season. He was drafted in 2010, so this is his fourth professional season. But regardless, people wanted to see them because, you know, when you're losing and your team's not very good, you want to know what all the hype is all about.
For sure.
You want to get a chance to get a look at guys. And you know, fans are going to want to see young players. And I've even said I would have loved to have seen Stroman up here. And I would have loved to have had Nolan stick around beyond the one outing in which he got his ears pinned back. But when you get to September, you're having a hard time finding innings for people. The way Todd Redmond and Esmiel Rogers have pitched, they deserve to keep pitching. And if you call Stroman up, you have to put him on the 40-man roster, and you have to hold on to him all winter. And I don't think the Blue Jays wanted to tie their hands as far as roster flexibility was concerned to have Stroman up here for, 7 or 8 innings.
That makes sense. I just thought, the number thrown around is, you know, 500 innings at the minor league level before you get called up. So I was just wondering, you know, why, you know, don't people want them to stay down there and develop the arm so they don't come up here and get hurt? But
I don't think you can prevent getting hurt. And also, I think the way that the Blue Jays work their pitchers in the early stages of their career, you're never going to get them to 500 innings. I mean, Sean Nolan in his first year pro with the Blue Jays made 7 starts in 2010 and threw 21 and a third innings because they baby the kids so much. And obviously when you look at what's happened in the major leagues when they get up here, it hasn't helped. So you're never going to get to 500 innings. And I don't think Stroman's going to get to – I expect Marcus Stroman to be in the major leagues at some point next year. If they kind of – let the reins loose a little bit, then you might see the 500 inning thing. But honestly, I don't think anything any team has done has shown that they can prevent injuries to pitchers. But we do know that whatever the Blue Jays have been doing certainly hasn't been working.
Yeah, for sure. All right. The other 2 points I have are just comments.
Real quick.
All right. Just the first thing. All season people have been calling you and the other shows on the Fan Prime Pine and whatnot, looking, trying to come up with a reason to blame it on John Gibbons. And, you know, you keep knocking him down whenever they pop up. And some guy called in earlier today to Primetime, and he basically said his reason was John Gibbons is responsible for 30% of the losses this season. And he was referencing last night when he brought in whoever the reliever was and he gave up the lead.
Steve Delamore. Who said that? What?
Yeah, there was a caller who called him to Primetime today. I don't know what his name was, but he said that's the mistakes John Gibbons makes when he brings in the wrong relievers. And, you know, Bob had the point where, you know, if that's your fact, you know, then every manager in the major league is responsible for that, and that's just untrue. And I agree with you. It's like, why don't you blame the players? If the pitcher gives up the lead, why isn't it his fault?
Right.
You know, he didn't pitch well. If you
very blatantly make the obvious wrong move, then sure, you know. But Steve Delabar has been a horse for this team and has done a great job for them. And you know, I don't know that you can point to that. And I think I heard Bob's answer. Or the later part of the answer. And I think he was absolutely right with the things he was saying. So, I think you're right there. to criticize the John Gibbons bullpen management, the way this year has gone and the way this bullpen has pitched is just, I mean, that's the last thing you can find to pick on him for. I appreciate it, Tyler. I know you had another thing you wanted to get to, but I want to get to some more people before we go. Dave in Toronto, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, a couple quick things. With respect to Gibby, my biggest criticism right from spring training, everyone seemed to sort of default to the World Baseball Classic situation and the team not being together to be able to really develop. I don't believe in the chemistry word like you, but to be able to really get comfortable with sort of the new additions and how they're going to play together. I don't know if I really subscribe to that as much, but one thing that I do think Gibby is responsible for, as is the entire coaching staff, that is, and the sentiment I'm going to make here has been echoed by Buck on numerous occasions throughout the season, as Pat Tabler said it, Zani said it, pretty much everyone, and I think Jack Morris has said it, is that someone has to answer for how poorly fundamentally the team plays. The Blue Jays, I've never heard you, I've never heard anyone on the broadcast, other than talking about poor fundamental play, have the Blue Jays, or ask the question, what do the Blue Jays aspire to? What type of baseball do the Blue Jays play? When players come up in the system, whether they're pitchers or position players, how do they learn the game? You said it's not up to the manager to teach at the major league level. Well, when you bring rookies in like Anthony Gose or Moses Sierra and they don't take their sunglasses out into the field and they have two or three errors in an inning, who's responsible for that? When Brett Laurie makes because he's a young... Yeah, but if they're young kids...
If they're young kids, they've been playing baseball their whole lives. They don't know how to take sunglasses out to the outfield because they're in the major leagues now?
But then who has to... Someone has to be responsible for that because that doesn't happen in a lot of other major league clubhouses, Mike.
It happens more than you think.
Well,
but that the players have to be responsible. And I don't know why. I honestly don't understand why anyone would want to just absolve the players of responsibility for things like that.
Because at the end of the day, what happens is the manager absolves the players. The manager doesn't sit down the player if he makes a base running mistake. The manager doesn't sit out the guy for making the same mistakes over and over again. It seems that in the Blue Jay organization, there are certain rules for certain players and certain rules for other players.
Yeah, unfortunately, that applies in every organization. But I will say this.
Maybe it does, but I don't care as a fan. I care about my own organization.
Okay, but if you're going to point out that it happens in this organization, then you have to understand that that's not a unique thing. But the second thing is, you don't know what the manager or the coaches are saying to players.
Well, I know
mistakes.
Having a Ted Lilly or Shea Hillenbrand moment, and he hasn't had very many of them this season.
No, nor should he.
Well, listen, I think as a fan, knowing what the old Gibby was and the new Gibby is today, I think fans that are critical of Gibby look at those two things and say, he hasn't shown a lot of fire in moments where the team has played very poorly fundamentally and has cost them a number of baseball games. And if it's the players or if it's not the players, then it's got to be someone. And then I look to the manager. And I brought up very early on in the season that I had heard and read from many people around the team that it was a very laissez-faire spring training. So I hope that's going to be different. The last question I'm going to ask you is this, with respect to the team. How do you personally, being around the team for as long as you have, and knowing now that we've had sort of with a pretty consistent core of guys that have been around for a number of years here now, how do you really evaluate whether this is sort of a tweak or add versus sort of a tear down and say to yourself, maybe this isn't the right mix of guys and we have to trade a couple real big core pieces to start building that way? Because I kind of think that you're at that point, and I haven't heard you really address that specifically.
Yeah, I don't think that would do any good. I think the core that you have is locked up, it's productive, and I don't know why you would want to... People have asked about trading Jose Bautista. I don't think you can get value for him, and I think that he provides much more for you on the field than he could in trading him at, I don't know, for 70 or 80 cents on the dollar. I don't think you move Edwin Encarnacion. I think if someone, if someone blows you away for an offer for anybody, fine, I'll trade anybody. But I don't think this team requires teardown. I think this team has a ton of talent, and I think that's apparent to anyone who watches. Jose Reyes, Brett Laurie, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, Colby Rasmus, all these guys are exceedingly talented and productive major league players, and for that reason, no, a teardown is not the right thing to do. You tweak, you add, you fix second base, you hope you can fix left field with a healthy Melky Cabrera. Who knows? But you'll find that out in the spring, one hopes. You fix the catcher, and you you add a starting pitcher or two, or you have development from underneath. There's no need. To me, the idea of tearing down this team and starting fresh is absolutely ludicrous, and it speaks more to frustration than anything else, and frustration that leads to irrational thinking. Dave in London. Dave, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm all right. You got a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, I only got a minute?
Oh, well, I got to go at 11.
Okay. I just don't know how you put up with these people, man.
Hey, fans are fans. They're allowed to express their frustration.
Wow. Like, I don't know. What was the difference back in 92 when the Blue Jays had the highest payroll in baseball?
The difference? What difference? What do you mean?
Like, for today. Like, if it, you know. Like,
they were a much better team.
Oh, I know that. Yes, I know. They had a lot better players.
Yes, and Danny Shulman and Bob McCowan were hosting this show, not me.
Yeah.
But that was the difference. They were a much better team.
No,
and
I know
the players
that,
performed but, very well. That's the thing, too.
They run down Gibbons, all these people calling, and it's like, it's not his fault.
Nope.
No, it's the players, and he can't make them play.
Yep.
I agree with you 185%.
Well, thank you. Hopefully at some point I can get you up to 190.
Well, we'll try.
All right.
I've been listening to Jerry and the late, great Tom Cheek for a very long time.
As did I, sir.
Yes,
I appreciate the call, Dave. Thank you very much. That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Center. Three more games at home this year, September 27th to 29th against Tampa Bay Rays. The Cleveland Indians won, so did the Texas Rangers, which means Texas and Tampa are tied for the two wildcard spots. Half a game ahead of the Indians, two up on the Baltimore Orioles. The Blue Jays go to Boston to open a three-game series tomorrow night. We'll be on at 7. The Red Sox clinch the AL East tonight. Make sure you join us then. Thanks to Derek Brandeo, to Gord Brunt, to all of you for listening and calling. Good night.